great, another political talk show. Just what America needs. It's time for something different. I figure if you're listening to me, you are obviously a person of very high intellect.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger. With your host, Kathy Wynn.
Osama bin Laden is dead. Or is he? In the wake of the successful mission to take out the world's most wanted terrorist, the conspiracy theories are flying. Today on Don't Shoot the Messenger, we are talking about conspiracies. If you want to join in on the discussion on our in one of our chat rooms, go to www.jackaloperadio.com and put yourself out there. Jump in. Let me know if you think I'm full of crap or if you agree with me. Anyway, so today we are talking about conspiracy theories, and as what always happens, when a prominent person is killed or dies or is assassinated, they flourish in the wake of that kind of event. So why do these sometimes outrageous scenarios always surface following the death of famous people, not just political leaders, but celebrities, movie stars, musicians, and other famous people? In the case of celebrities, I always feel like, well, a lot of times people just don't want them to die. And just can't accept it. So fans that worship them and build them up to be larger than life just simply can't accept their mortality and the fact that they're subject to the same laws of physics as the rest of us. And sadly, that means at some point they will die. So it's somehow easier for a lot of people to believe that John Lennon and Elvis and Michael Jackson are sitting around somewhere having a beer together than that they just simply no longer are alive. But political conspiracies are different, and I think they're a lot more complicated, and I think they touch on what people sort of believe in as far as their values, their morals, their particular political persuasions. Seriously, some of the crazy stories that sprang up after 9/11 were just so out there that I really found it impossible to take them seriously and even harder to believe there were enough people who did to keep them going. There was the one where George W. Bush was supposedly himself involved in the 9/11 attacks in order to gain support for going to war in the Middle East. Well, anybody that knows me will tell you I am not a fan of George W. Bush, but even I wouldn't sink as low as to accuse him of something that despicable. There's the one with JFK where his assassination was actually a plot by the government to take him out just due to enemies within his own administration, Hoover and others who didn't like his policies. So this sort of thing just goes on, it seems like, in politics and with celebrities whenever there's an event like what just happened with Osama bin Laden. And this show is going to be kind of dedicated to looking at that and talking about it. The same conspiracy contingent that comes up with what they do after 9/11 or after Michael Jackson died is now at work with the Osama bin Laden killing. And they have come up with all kinds of secret, and I'm making air quotes right now. This is radio, so you can't see that, but I'm making air quotes when I say secret. Anyway, that same group that always needs a reason to come up with a secret government plot is going after the mission to take out Osama bin Laden. I've seen all kinds of variations on this. Some people claim that he's alive and he's in a secret prison somewhere, or wait, he's not alive, but he was dead for weeks before the mission took place. Or wait, no, he was taken alive but then killed. Or wait, no, in fact, he got away and is being hidden by his followers, and on it goes. So no matter how ridiculous it seems, how outrageous, how much it seems to fly in the face of common sense, These kinds of theories flourish and people believe it. Why? Why is that? Well, I think when it comes to our military and politicians, there are a lot of people who simply just find it easier to accept fantasy than reality. And I'm not, that is not to say that people who believe these theories are, I really am not trying to insult people that have a basic mistrust of the government and don't believe what the government puts out there, so they come up with alternative explanations. But sometimes I do think that it is just as dogmatic, it's just as irrational to blindly accept a conspiracy theory as it is to blindly accept whatever the government tells us. And that's where I think a lot of these come from people who just have this very deep-seated mistrust and even a downright fear of the government, and so they just will not accept whatever comes out of the White House or any kind of government institution. And then, let's face it, you have, in this situation, you have the Obama haters, people who really, really do not want to see this man be successful and resent it that he achieved something in 2 years that two previous presidents could not accomplish at all. George Bush had 8 years. Clinton had 8 years. Neither one of them were able to do it. And then Obama got it done in two. And I know that rankles those that just flat out do not want to see Obama be successful. So, but I think it's important when these kinds of, theories and scenarios are going around to just take a look at first of all, how many people would be involved in carrying out a hoax at this level and that would involve this many people. So I thought, well, I think I'll start with just looking at how many people that I can think of would have had to be involved in a lie about the death of Osama bin Laden on this scale. And of course, you have to start with the President of the United States just creating a whopper of a story to pawn off on the American people. Even though with all the hateful rhetoric and the attacks on this president that have gone on since he was sworn into office, nobody has yet caught this man in a lie. His record in both his words and his deeds is devoid of the kind of deceit we saw with the Bush-Cheney administration. But nevertheless, the conspiracy theorists are accusing him of a lie so big that it's not only to our nation, but to the entire world, including our allies who have put their trust in America when we've told them that one of the biggest threats to world peace, the most wanted terrorist in the world, is dead. That kind of deception would cost us our credibility and alliances with countries all over the globe. It's stunning to think that the president of this country would actually deceive all of the people that he has spent years, and presidents before him spent years, building mutually beneficial relationships with, that we would then turn around and lie to them about something this important. So this actually, though, it would go far beyond just a lie by the president. So I started looking into this, and here are just a handful of the people who would have to be involved in a lie on this scale and an act of deception like this by the Obama administration. It would, of course, include Vice President Joe Biden. It would have to include Brigadier General Marshall B. Webb, who is the Assistant Commanding General of the Joint Special Operations Command. It would have to include Deputy National Security Advisor Dennis McDonoghue, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, our Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, Admiral Mike Mullen, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It most definitely would have to involve our National Security Advisor Tom Donilon, Chief of Staff Bill Daley, Tony Blinken, the National Security Advisor to the Vice President, Audrey Thomason is the Director for Counterterrorism, John Brennan, Assistant to the President for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism, and Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper. So now these are just people very close to the president that advise him and give consult when a mission of this level is undertaken. So all of these people would also have to be involved in being willing to risk their careers, their reputations, their integrity in putting out a lie, not just to America. The killing of Osama bin Laden did not just affect America, although, we certainly, in light of 9/11 and the 3,000 people that died at the hands of this murderous tyrant, had probably the biggest axe to grind and the most people who felt that they needed justice to be done. Nevertheless, this terrorist is despised by countries all over the Middle East and all over the world, and people have lived in fear of his power and his hateful actions all over the world. So it's not just an American issue. So that's just a handful, but there would have to also be dozens, really, if not hundreds, in the military, the CIA, the FBI. They would all have to have agreed to take part in a very elaborate hoax to be pulled off on the American people as well as the rest of the world. So basically, the president would be risking the alliances of the United States with hundreds of other countries around the world in order to pretend that Osama bin Laden was killed in this mission. And I have to wonder why he would choose this particular point to pretend that Osama bin Laden was killed. Wouldn't he have waited until, I don't know, a month before the next election? Because all of the statistics show that when presidents have successful missions or enterprises or military activities, they have a spike in their approval ratings, which has happened with President Obama. But it's a very short-lived spike. George Bush Sr., after the first Iraq war, and after that war was, after that mission was completed, enjoyed a 91% approval rating. He was defeated in the next election. So if you were going to time a conspiracy of this kind, if you were going to time it politically in order to benefit yourself, you wouldn't do it years before the next election. You would do it a month before the election. And that is not what happened. So that's just, first of all, I think the timing is all wrong for President Obama, if he were looking at this simply in terms of trying to benefit himself politically. And frankly, it was not Obama who waged war on a country over trumped up intelligence reports that supposedly alleged stockpiling of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That was Bush Cheney. This president has also not been somebody who takes lightly our necessary alliances with countries that we need on our side in this fight on terrorism. And I think the idea that he would toss out years of work and careful building of relationships with countries around the globe in order to pull off some charade that Osama bin Laden has been killed is just absurd to me. What is absurd to me, though, doesn't stop those who I think really ultimately want to attack this administration, and many don't care to what lengths they have to go in order to try to steal recognition of this victory over terrorism from him. But let's get to the people in the story who would have to be above everyone else involved, the top liars, the top fabricators, the people who truly, bottom line, would have had to have filed false reports of their conduct with the military. The CIA, they would have had to file false reports with the CIA, the FBI, the National Security Council, and all other American agencies involved in this mission. The main liars in this story would have to be Navy SEALs Team 6. I mean, really think about that for a minute. These are the most courageous, most elite, most competent commando unit in our military, and people are basically saying they are a bunch of lying posers, and it's being claimed that they actually would go to the extent of faking a military mission that they actually did not take any part in. Because as you know, when a military mission like this takes place, there is paperwork, folks. It's not something like they go in and they kill this man and leave and go home. They have to file very detailed reports about exactly how it all went down. And then they have to sign their names to it. So what these conspiracy theories basically allege is that these men who trained for many years under the most grueling situations would compromise their integrity and lie to this extent. That's really beyond me to believe that. So, I think of all the things about the conspiracy theories that really amaze me, that has to be the ultimate in just what I think to be hateful and inflammatory made-up scenarios that really they not only don't make sense on any rational level, but they attack the integrity of America's most patriotic warriors, our Navy SEALs. Navy SEALs spend 2 years of training under the most grueling, physically demanding, mentally challenging conditions that you or I could imagine, including, I learned, swimming the length of an Olympic-sized swimming pool with their feet bound and their hands tied behind their backs. Go ahead and try that. In 30 weeks, they run 806 miles, swim 77 miles, and shoot 3,000 rounds of live ammunition. According to Newsweek magazine, their average age is 22 to 25, but bin Laden's killers were probably much older. It takes a decade, in many cases, to ascend from general enlistee to top commando, who attracts the attention of Team 6. Then it's another 6 months or a year of specialized training, followed by years of proving oneself before landing the top assignments. Most SEAL Team 6 members are in their 30s and even up past their 40s, says Don Mann, who retired from the squad in 1998 at 40 years old. Vitamin M for Motrin is everybody's daily candy, he says, and the rehabilitation room in Norfolk, Virginia, where the SEALs are based, is often crammed with Nolan Ryan types hoping to tape themselves together for one more tour. There were a lot of limps at a SEALs reunion held earlier this year. So, if we are to believe the conspiracy theorists who claim that the men who undergo the most rigorous military training in the world sacrifice a normal family life, never know if they'll come home from a mission or not, are willing to go wherever they're ordered, under whatever conditions they encounter, and whose dedication to this country is unbounded, are nothing but a bunch of liars working with the government to deceive the American people about killing Osama bin Laden. And this would be why, to promote Barack Obama's political aspirations to win the next election. So you're going to get these committed American patriots to go in together on a lie so that Barack Obama can win the next election. It's so demeaning. I can't think of another word for it. I just find it so demeaning, not only to the president and to the Navy SEALs, but just that there are people in this country that would actually that would actually think so little of our most dedicated patriots. I really don't understand that. And I guess I'm supposed to believe that some guy sitting at home on his computer who comes up with any wacky scenario that wouldn't make sense under the best of circumstances has somehow discovered the secret that the United States and our Navy SEALs, as well as dozens of people at the top levels of government and the military in this country, came up with. I just don't think it's rational. So it just seems to me that it is not only supremely insulting and ungrateful, but really, truly, just disgusting that anybody would be willing to go that far to impugn the reputation of these true patriots. And I know that I will probably rankle a lot of people when I say this, but to me, what this smacks of, sadly, it's the same mentality that prevailed during the Vietnam War, when our returning veterans, after being subjected to horrendous living conditions, risking their lives every day, witnessing and taking part in horrifying violence, it rendered many of them completely non-functional for the rest of their lives. Those brave veterans were met at airports across this country by protesters who sat out the war but managed to make it to the airport to spit on our returning veterans. And as far as I'm concerned, this is what these conspiracy theorists are doing every time they come up with another ridiculous fabrication in order to further a conspiracy theory. It is simply not fair to say, this is the government lying, it's not the Navy SEALs. Well, it was the Navy SEALs that claimed they went in there and killed this man. So you cannot say that if you come up with one of these conspiracy theories and promote it, that you're only talking about the government. The Navy SEALs are in the military. They are under the command of the commander-in-chief, the government. They are part of the government. The military does not act independently of the commander-in-chief. So what you are saying is, these brave Americans who undergo the kind of training and hardship and physical demands on their bodies that you and I would not live through. I couldn't. I've seen and read enough about it to know I would be reduced to tears after 10 minutes of what they go through. And somehow it's okay to call them liars. I just don't think it is. So I really just think it's despicable that people are circulating this stuff. I think, you know, I have to say to them, if this is how you feel, sign up, suit up, and go risk your life for your country like these men are doing. And then see if you feel okay about somebody calling you a liar when you carry out missions where you risk your life, where you may have a wife and family at home, that you go into a situation knowing you might never see again. Really, truly, is that fair? I think it is a way of verbally spitting on our most courageous veterans. One of the justifications that I've seen for some of these conspiracy theories is, of course, that Obama refused to release photographs of the body of Osama bin Laden. And that has been, I've seen that over and over again on blogs and websites and on Facebook, that people, well, there are no photographs, therefore there's no proof. But then again, I have asked people who are promoting these theories whether a photograph would actually prove to them that this mission was carried out exactly as it has been reported to have been carried out. And they say no. Photographs can be doctored. Then what is the point in publishing them? The reason that the president did not publish those photos is because they are gruesome, they're gory, they're bloody, and they should not be published to satisfy the morbid curiosity of people who wouldn't even be satisfied anyway that it was evidence that this mission was carried out as it is reported to have been. All that it would do is inflame and enrage the people who already are inflamed and enraged and plotting their revenge against us for this attack on their leader. We still have veterans over in the Middle East, in and around Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and their lives are at risk. They are the ones who are at risk from retaliation by Al-Qaeda for this act. There is, of course, a risk to America right now. There is stepped-up security at our airports and all modes of transportation because, of course, they're going to look at a way to attack us on our own soil. But let's face it, the people who really are at risk here from publishing inflammatory photos, it's our troops. Aren't they at risk enough? Is it worth putting them even more in danger to put some gruesome and morbid photos out that would only make our enemies more resolved to get retaliation on us? I don't think it is. So I really think that in this case, the president acted with wisdom. And I don't think it has a thing to do with any kind of conspiracy, because as he said, and even as the people I've talked to who believe in the conspiracy theories have said, it wouldn't prove anything to them anyway. They would just say the photos are doctored. They would just say they were staged. They would not believe them. It would not change anything. The identity of the Navy SEALs who carried out this operation, like all Navy SEALs, has to be kept secret for obvious reasons. But of course, that also fuels those who try to claim the mission was a hoax. Because if the people who did it are secret, then of course they can claim, well, there you go. They're just made up. They aren't real people. It never happened. Imagine the terrorist target that the families and the communities of these men would present if they were known. If the names and identities of the people who carried out this mission were made public, can you imagine who the terrorists who are seeking retaliation, where would they go first to attack? It would be to those families. It would be to their communities. So really, common sense, people, their identities are something that have to be kept secret. In fact, the identities of Navy SEALs are always kept secret for that very reason. They are targets. So I just think that surely people must realize that bin Laden, his murdering band of brothers, would be intent on killing anybody remotely related to the men who took out their psychotic leader. So, although these men are heroes for taking part in one of the most dangerous missions ever executed by the military, their heroism is anonymous. They don't get a ticker tape parade. They don't get interviews on 60 Minutes. But what they do get is the knowledge that they made the world a safer place and avenged the death of 3,000 innocent Americans who were murdered in cold blood. They don't do what they do for recognition or worship. And that right there speaks volumes about their character. But they certainly shouldn't be branded liars either. And like I said, I think those who are accusing them of that should sign up and suit up themselves and see how it feels to risk your life for a country that turns around and calls you a traitor.
You wanted to go to break?
Yes.
All right. We'll do a break.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
I'm
Don't shoot the messenger.
Don't shoot the messenger.
You're listening to Don't Shoot the Messenger with your host, Kathy Wynn.
The topic today is conspiracy theories, specifically the theories that are sprouting up in the wake of the killing of Osama bin Laden, or I should say alleged killing. Because there are those who believe, first of all, that some believe he's still alive. Some believe he was dead before this mission ever supposedly took place. Some believe that he was alive and taken and then killed. So it's all over the board out there, but that is the discussion today. And I do want to say, I know that I really am aware that there are people circulating these rumors and theories, and I know they aren't intentionally going after our Navy SEALs, because I think the problem is they haven't thought about it in enough detail to realize that is what they're doing. There could be no way that this kind of conspiracy could have taken place without the collusion of the military, and specifically the Navy SEALs who are supposed to have executed bin Laden. Those very detailed computer images that we've seen on television recreating the whole scenario, somebody would have had to make that up. And in addition to that, in any military operation, written reports have to be made. But an operation like this, at the very highest level, these men would have to file reports detailing every little second of when they got to that compound, every minute leading up to it, getting there, what they did, who was there, the aftermath. And then they would have to sign their names to it, basically signing their names to lies. I don't believe it. I think that a lot of what is going on, at least some of it, is petty. There's resentment at this president, an unwillingness to credit him with the successful planning and execution of a mission like this that took only 2 years. George Bush couldn't get it done in 8. And in fact, announced in 2006 that finding bin Laden was no longer a priority. Can you imagine being a family member of somebody killed on 9/11, hearing the president say he was no longer interested in finding the murderer who did that? That is what he said in 2006 when asked at a press conference about the search for bin Laden. What Obama said in his campaign when he was asked about Osama bin Laden was that if his whereabouts became known, if he was in Pakistan, and Pakistan was doing nothing to deal with him, then America would. He kept that promise, one of many that so far he's kept. And instead of celebrating this victory and showing pride in a job well done, there are those who are just too bitter to accept that he accomplished what two presidents before him failed at. So that, of course, is some of what provides the fuel for conspiracy theorists: resentment and unwillingness to acknowledge the success of this president. But in their haste to steal victory from the president, they are, whether they realize it or not, smearing the integrity of the brave men who walked into that compound not knowing if they would ever walk out again. Many of these silly scenarios not only don't make sense to any reasonable person, but they are driven by the very worst in human nature: pettiness, jealousy, and the same rancor and bitterness towards this president that drove birthers and death panelists. And yes, I'm going to say it, the word that nobody is supposed to actually use when discussing the critics of this president, the big fat R word, it's called racism. I can only imagine the people who are right now typing furiously in the chat room to accuse me of playing the race card. Go ahead. It's the elephant in the room that we are supposed to pretend doesn't exist, so as not to be accused of playing the race card. But I'm playing it. It's there whether those on the extreme right, and I say extreme right because I have many friends who are right wing. I have Republican friends. I have friends in the Tea Party who are not racist. But you cannot deny that that element is at work in this sort of trying to completely undermine the success of the mission that this president accomplished. Is every person opposed to the policies of Obama a racist? Of course not. But a great number are, and I'm convinced it's a much bigger number than most people will admit. I don't think it's a coincidence that our first black president is the first in history to have demanded of him proof of citizenship beyond an ordinary birth certificate. A birth certificate that, by the way, was certified by the Secretary of State of Hawaii to be valid, as well as the head of the Bureau of Vital Statistics in that state. So why was there a demand for additional proof from Obama? Simple. It was just another way that extremists on the right, and again, I will say it, racists, and no, they are not all one and the same, but again, many are both, tried to label him as not one of us, not even of this country. So make no mistake, that element is at work here. And again, I am not accusing anybody who believes a conspiracy theory of being a racist. I know that is not the case. But again, I believe a great many are and are looking for any way to undermine his success that they can. So the conspiracies are flying, and many of the people sending them out there know what they're doing, stirring up hate, negativity, and antagonism towards a president who achieved something that the two presidents before him couldn't. This mission should stir up nothing but respect and pride in our president and in our military, particularly the Navy SEALs, who brilliantly executed a dangerous and complex mission perfectly. Unfortunately, those who are intent on demeaning this president have only conspiracy theories and hateful rhetoric to respond with. But in their attempts to undermine the president, really, is it fair to call America's most elite commando unit a band of liars? I truly think that's contemptible and shameful that that is how far some in the anti-Obama contingent will go. And don't be fooled by those who say it isn't the Navy SEALs they're criticizing, though I know there are those who don't really see it that way. They see it as the government. The government wasn't flying the helicopters into a sovereign country and risking their lives. That was our most courageous citizens. Navy SEAL Team 6 would, in essence, have to consist of blatant liars who went along with the fabrication of a mission that never took place. They would have had to file reports of this mission using false facts and information and then sign their names to it and submit it to their commanding officers. So I ask you, after the description I gave of what these men undergo to serve their country and defend our freedoms under any conditions they're subjected to, does that truly make sense? That these men of the highest integrity and dedication to their country would turn out to be nothing more than common liars? It would be ridiculous if it were not so sad. Here is what Newsweek magazine wrote of the success of this mission. Excuse me for 1 minute. So this is an article by Stephen L. Carter called The Burden of Victory in the most recent Newsweek magazine. And what he said is this: this time we hit our target. America is celebrating. We turn out to not be in decline after all. We are still the superpower the rest of the world envies and fears. President Obama boldly green-lighted a high-risk operation, a decision surely not easy to make, and the gamble paid off. That's where we're at, America. We have shown the world how competent, how brave, how courageous our military is, how smart our president is, how when all of the intelligence agencies and the people in his administration involved in this came together to work on it, to make it successful, we showed the world what we are capable of. This is something to be proud of. And that is the truth of what happened, the bottom line in the way all of this played out. But there are those who will never be satisfied with the truth. They will never acknowledge any success of this president, and he could produce 1,000 photographs of a dead Osama bin Laden. It wouldn't change a damn thing for people determined to hate him and bring him down. Sometimes negativity and hate and distortions of truth succeed, and good people are hurt, even ruined, by lies. That might be ultimately what happens to this president in the next election, though in just less than 3 years, he has already far surpassed in achievement anything his predecessor can claim to have accomplished. Conspiracy theories. I don't care if people think that Michael Jackson and John Lennon and Elvis are alive on an island somewhere drinking beer and jamming. It's silly, but it's harmless. But some lies, some fabrications are not harmless. They do hurt people. They divide our country. They generate hate and animosity and suspicion at a time when we should be basking in the success of a brilliant president, an equally brilliant and competent team of American soldiers. So it is truly sad to me and disappointing that even in the wake of something so overwhelmingly positive, there are still those who won't be satisfied with anything less than branding all of those responsible for this success liars, fakes, and phonies on a global scale. So again, I say to all of those who are caught up in conspiracy theories and who are determined to undermine the success of this mission and the brilliant accomplishment by our president and our Navy SEALs, sign up, suit up, put your own asses on the line, and then I might consider that some of your nonsense being made up and circulated has some credibility. But as long as you do nothing more than sit in front of a computer spreading distortions and fabrications on Facebook, please don't expect me or any other intelligent Americans to give 2 cents for these kind of ridiculous rantings. I actually don't expect the people circulating these conspiracy theories to listen to this show. If they started out listening, they probably tuned out a little while ago. But I'm confronting them anyway on their accusations against our president and Navy SEALs. And this is what I have to say to them. Please take your animosity, suspicion, and attacks on people trying their best to lead this country into the light and use that energy for something positive. And consider that perhaps, just maybe, America got it right this time. Maybe our leaders, our military, our intelligence agencies came together and eliminated a murdering tyrant who killed 3,000 innocent people in the most horrifying way imaginable. So let's just try to turn off the partisan sniping for a minute, the constant need to find something sinister in even the most noble of enterprises, and join those of us who recognize what you do not, that this country is still the great nation it was intended to be by our founding fathers, and that when we work together to eliminate evil, we can succeed, and we did succeed. After all, at the end of the day, shouldn't we all hope that America gets it right? No matter who is in charge and who gets a little glory or recognition, isn't it ultimately all of us who benefit from this victory? I want to read something else in Newsweek magazine. And this is, again, by Stephen L. Carter. And what he says is about this mission, symbols matter. The death of Osama bin Laden solves no tactical problem in either the Afghan war, where the Taliban has begun its annual spring offensive, or the larger war on terror. Nor does his assassination untangle our politics at home. It will not create jobs, close the deficit, or reform Medicare. In short, when one looks at the reality of the practical challenges facing us, bin Laden's death changes nothing. But it does give Americans of all political stripes a sense of closure, of satisfaction, of victory. By the time these words appear, we might have tumbled back into our usual cycle of partisan backbiting the way we swiftly did after 9/11. Or maybe, this time, we can resist. After all, national unity is a symbol, too, and it's worth fighting for. Thanks for tuning in to Don't Shoot the Messenger. Join us next Thursday, www.jackaloperadio.com, and please join us in a chat room if you have any comments on this or any other show or anything you want to share at all. See you next week.
There's a bright golden haze in the meadow, happy bell. There's a bright golden haze in the meadow. The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Well, I say, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah. Yes, what a wonderful day. Y'all look out there. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything going my way. Y'all come on now. Oh, the cattle are standing like statues. The cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eyes. She said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah. Well, what a wonderful day. I want y'all to know, I've got a beautiful feeling. I've got everything going my way. Everything going my way, my way. All right, y'all, do it to me now.
Don't Shoot the Messenger with your host, Kathy Wynn, a Jackalope Radio production.
All the sounds of the earth are like music. The sounds of the earth are like music. The breeze is as busy, it don't miss a tree. And a little old weeping willow is laughing at me. She said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yes, I got everything going my way, my way. Such a wonderful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.